الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Before starting with the explanation of this hadith, may Allah make it beneficial for all of us, inshallah. Just a quick reminder that today is the day of Jumu'ah, and there are certain amal that we should try and observe every Jumu'ah. That is one, we should make ghusl for Jumu'ah, which we all do, alhamdulillah, put on clean clothes. Then secondly, every Jumu'ah, we should try and come early to the masjid, as early as possible. Thirdly, we should try and come walking. We should try and come walking to the masjid. Fourthly, which is very important, try and sit as close as possible to the imam, which means always fill the first saf. When the first saf is full, then only start with the second saf. And when the second saf is full, then only start with the third saf. And great, great rewards for this. May Allah reward those brothers who are coming forward, inshallah, and give us all tawfiq. Fifthly, we should listen very attentively. We shouldn't let our minds float around or take our 40 wings for the day, etc. And sixthly, we shouldn't do anything which is useless. Like, for example, playing with the watch, or putting the glasses right, or all are watching now, he's putting the water, what we are looking, I don't know, but everyone's attention is going there. So we should pay our attention to the bayan, inshallah. And that is for every bayan also. And another quick reminder, Jummah we should try and increase our durood sharif as much as possible. Every day we should try and read some durood, inshallah. We are all reading in the morning 10 times, which is very little, but we have a lot of more time. But whatever amount we can read, and on Jummah especially, we should try and increase. It is great, greatly appreciated, and our rewards will be very great by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This hadith mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. Al-Muslimu, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That a Muslim is that person that Muslims are saved from the harm of his tongue and his hands. The other part of the hadith, which is the relevant part which I want to try and speak about today, that we will discuss just now, but first this part of the hadith. First it is said that al-Muslimu, al-Muslim is that person who doesn't cause any harm to anyone by his hand or tongue. Basically, a Muslim is one who does not cause any harm to any other person. Now, if we look at it, there is a very important lesson for us to learn, and that is, if we look at hadith literally, like for example, Salafis do, they just take the literal meaning, they don't get the proper understanding. So in that case, what a person will say, that a Muslim is he who does not cause harm to any other Muslim, to any other person. So if any Muslim is causing harm, which all of us sometimes we do, we stand in somebody's way, or we tell somebody something which is not right to say, we have mistakes we make, that means that is not a Muslim at all. Na'uzu billah, that is not the case, that's not the meaning. Yeah, the meaning is al-Muslimul Kamil, a Muslim who is a perfect Muslim. He is the one who has made effort on himself to such an extent that he does not cause harm to anyone else. Now harm, for example, in the room, with our roommates, with our classmates, sometimes we do something, we upset, and it happens all the time, somebody gets upset. In the home, the husband tells the wife something, the wife does something the husband doesn't like, we're causing some type of harm. That doesn't mean that the person is not a Muslim. He is a Muslim, but he's not yet a perfect Muslim. So that is what we have to strive for, to try and become a perfect Muslim. So al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna, that other Muslims are protected from the harm of his hand and tongue, from any harm caused by him. Now here again, there is another question that arises, that means that we must not harm Muslims, we can harm non-Muslims. We can harm animals because the word Muslim has come in the hadith. Again, hadith we have to understand from the people who have understood it above us, from the people who have understood it above them, tell Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then only will we get the proper understanding of hadith. To give you an example, for example, a father is lying on his bed at night after Isha, he's going to sleep now, and he tells his son, Abdullah, bring me water. He said, Abdullah, bring me water. The son knows my father is lying on the bed, so in what will he take water to his father? In a glass he will take. Now, Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning, the father is standing by the car outside in the yard. His sleeves are folded up and he shouts, Abdullah, bring me water. So the son sees the father is standing by the car. Now in what will he take water? Don't wait for Haji Sahab to say. In a bucket. Because he can see. Now he is the person who was there and he knew the situation. The words are the same. Abdullah, bring me water. The words are the same. Now a person who was not there won't know in what must the water be taken. And if a person doesn't understand it from those who were there, they might bring the water when the father is lying on the bed to sleep, they might bring water in a bucket. And when he wants to wash the car, they might bring water in a glass for him, which is totally wrong. But those who are there and they understood it, they will say the same words. Abdullah, bring me water, but they will understand it correctly. That is why it is so important to understand the whole of our deen. Ayats of the Quran, Sharif, Hadith, everything from those people who were present in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba ikiram radiallahu ta'ala. And then they taught Hadith and they taught the explanation of the Hadith, and that Alhamdulillah has come down to us till today. And that is the correct understanding. So one time Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was asked by a Hindu that according to this hadith, it is permissible for Muslims to harm non-Muslims. Because the hadith say, Al-Muslimu man salimal muslimuna. So Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained to that person, no, that is not the case. But the hadith, because Muslims love more with Muslims. Like here in the madrasa, we are all Muslims here. So our matter is with Muslims all the time. A Muslim society, a Muslim community lives with Muslims all the time. That's why the word Muslim is mentioned. But the ulama, the people who have understood the hadith, of great ulama and shurrah, they have explained that nobody must be harmed, even wrongfully. Don't harm any person, not even a non-Muslim. And really Islam spread with this good character of Islam and of Muslims. If today also we display that and we show, and many people are doing it, Alhamdulillah. They show their good character and the people get impressed. Like how many cases in an aeroplane, there's an elderly person, he wants to put his luggage on top, and many times we see a Muslim jumps up and he helps the person. And he doesn't even wait for thank you or something. Then those people get surprised in how many cases they said, what we read, what we follow in the media, newspapers, news, etc., TV, whatever it may be, we get the impression that Muslims are very bad people. They are blood lovers. They just want to spill the blood of people. But just see how pleasant you are. So this is when that character will come into us, which we must try and develop everywhere. Don't try driving on the road. We must not drive, especially as youngsters also. Sometimes we cut into traffic and we don't give people a chance or something. A Muslim should be such, not only that he doesn't cause harm to any person, but in fact a Muslim must be such that he's courteous. A good courteous driver also. Don't rev the engine. Don't try and drive like a wild person. Be kind to other people, to other road users. Pedestrians want to cross, give them a chance, let them cross, etc. All those characteristics that must be developed in a Muslim. Then the ulama have written even further, which is explained in the Hadith Sharif also, that a Muslim is he who does not even cause harm to the environment. Like for example, it comes in the hadith, don't urinate in dam water, etc., in water. river, dam, anything, don't urinate there. So that is also important. Don't urinate or do your number two under a tree where people sit and take rest on the way of people, where there is a footpath somewhere, all those things. So a Muslim is he who does not cause any harm to any person or to any animal also, or to the environment also. And this is what we have to strive for. And more greater it is if we reach that stage, which we should try, that we are prepared to be harmed, but we don't harm anyone else. Like, for example, you are traveling and by train, by bus, by taxi, and the taxi is full. There's place for one person. You give somebody else a place. It's you were in turn. If you had to get on and you want to reach your place, but you have reached that level, nothing. I will stay back, let this person go. How much won't people appreciate it? And even if it is for non-Muslims, how much won't they appreciate? Anyway, in a queue, it's our right, we were in the queue, but we see an elderly person, or it looks like this person is in a hurry, we tell him, you carry on, you go. How much won't they appreciate it? So the first part of the hadith, a brief explanation is that. The second part of the hadith, which I want to explain, with relevance to the present time that we are in. The translation of the second part, al-muhajir, that the person who truly makes hijrat, mujahid, muhajir, is a person who makes hijrat, who leaves his home country for the sake of deen. He can't practice deen yet. Like the muhajirin of Makkah Sharif, they couldn't practice deen. The kuffar of Makkah were not allowing them to practice deen. And that time it was farz for every person to make hijrat and go to Madinatul Munawwara, where they could practice deen very freely. And they had to support the Islamic capital, which was established now. And it was necessary that wherever there were Muslims, they had to come to Madinatul Munawwara. That time it was faraz. Today it is not faraz as such, but that is hijrat, that a person leaves his hometown, and we can imagine how hard that is. It's not an easy thing. Where you grew up, where all your assets are, your properties are, your business is, your family is, the other part of the family didn't accept Islam, or they don't want to make hijrat, but you are, and you are making and how much love it shows for Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, a person makes hijrat. Like most of you, perhaps all of you have also made hijrat. You have left your hometowns to your home countries to come and acquire knowledge. Though our hijrat is such that we know that end of the year our ticket is booked again. Or some might not be going this year, next year we will go home, or something like that. But that hijrat was a permanent hijrat, never ever to return back again. And there are a lot of masail, husband and wife, for example. The wife didn't accept Islam, they love one another. And they staying together, when hijrat became for us, the husband left. In spite of the fact that he loves his wife, but she didn't accept Islam. She doesn't want to make hijrat. And there are a lot of ayat in the Quran Sharif and for details in the fiqh at that time what the rulings are. So all this shows that this hijrat is a very great thing. But in this hadith, the ulama explained the real hijrat is that person. That is a great, great hijrat, the physical, practical hijrat. But a more greater hijrat which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains in this hadith, al-muhajiru, the true person who is a muhajir, who makes hijrat, man hajara ma nahallahu anhu, who makes hijrat of those things which Allah Ta'ala has forbidden him from. What wrong things there are, he stays away from them. That is the true hijrat. All haram things, all things which are undesirable according to Shariat, what we call makruh, makruh tahrimi, makruh tanzihi. And really for a true believer, there is no difference between makruh tahrimi and makruh tanzihi. Everything is undesirable. And it is, I'm not going to go near that. Why I say it's a relevance with this time of which we are in. We are, today is the 28th of Zulhijjah, which is the last month of the Islamic calendar. Either today, tomorrow will be the 29th, then Yawmul Ahad, Sunday, maybe the 1st of Muharram, or it may be the 30th of Zulhijjah, depending on the sighting of the moon. So we are coming to a new year. And many of us, I hope, how many of us are aware that we're going into a new year. As far as the English year is concerned, when January comes, everyone knows we are going into a new year. But Islamically, how many of us know? And we are Muslims and we are students in the madrasa. Our first priority and preference must be to, according to the Islamic calendar. And we must know the Islamic dates always. And we should follow that. So, a little bit of history, very briefly, here on this occasion, is that when the Muslims had made hijrah, they had come to Medina Sharif, and an Islamic capital of Madinatul Munawwara was established, and by the time Makkah Sharif also had come under Islamic law and rule, and Islam had spread to nearby countries, and the time when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifatul Muslimin, then he made mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we are a distinct society. We are a nation of its own, and our calendar must be also our own. So we must have our own calendar, and mashura was made, etc. Different views came. For example, it could have been that our calendar starts with the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like the Christian calendar is from the time of the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is from that. And also we should think, today we all know that the Christian calendar, which is the Gregory calendar, the Christian calendar, we all know it. But that is the time of from Isa alayhi salam's birth. And our calendar, which is our Islamic calendar, how many of us know? For example, how many of us know what is my Islamic date of birth? Very few of us might know that what my Islamic date of birth is. And we are Muslims. English date of birth, we won't make a mistake. We will know it immediately. We know properly. But we are Muslims. How many of us? We have to think a little bit. Others of us, we don't know it at all. So we should try and identify with Islamic symbols, Islamic values. This is a reminder. The Islamic calendar could have started from the time the first ayat was revealed. Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. From that ayat, the whole world's history changed. So it could be from there. The Islamic calendar could have started from the time of the Battle of Badr. That was also an occasion when the whole history of the world changed, when the Battle of Badr took place. But of all things, what is our Islamic calendar known as? What calendar? Hijri. So it refers to the hijrat, from the time that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made hijrat from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. So this is to remind us every year when we are going in our new year, we also must make hijrat. We are going to make hijrat from 1436 we are in. 7. We will go to 1438 now. So we all should remember that now there is a change coming. We are going into a new year. So in the same way, the true muhajir is he who makes hijrat from all those things which Allah has forbidden him to do. So each one of us should take stock of ourselves and see what things are we doing which Allah has forbidden us from doing. The haram. And staying away from haram is a very great ibadat on its own. Normally we will think of ibadat, what is ibadat? Namaz, tilawat, zikr, dua, acquiring knowledge is a very great ibadat. And also increasing our knowledge is a very, very great ibadat also. Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, many of his bayans when he speaks to ulama, to students, he says, what must I speak about? You are students, you are acquiring knowledge. Well, now, and that is the greatest ibadat which fuqaha have discussed. To learn is the greatest ibadat. Then he says, must I tell you to make amal? You people are students of deen, you are making amal, your namazes, everything is in order. He says, what I will speak about, to increase our knowledge. And what a beautiful example Qari Sahib gives on this, that when a little child, 4, 5, 6 year old child starts takhti, alif, ba, ta, ta, when he comes to ya, and if he feels, now I'm a big alim. Now finish everything, I've learned everything, whole takhti is finished. But now, I don't know what is being used or what is being used now, but the takhti in the old days, when you turn it around, now it's alif, zabar, a. Alif, zeer, e. Alif, pesh, u. Now he sees he has to learn there. Now he finishes there. Now he feels I'm a big alim. I finished everything. Now the ustad brings the qaida to the person. Qaida Baghdadi, Yassar al Quran, whichever qaida. Now he sees he has to join words. Alif, ba, zabar, ab, jab, sab. Now all that. When he finishes that, when he thinks I'm a alim, no, now the ustad will bring Quran Sharif. Now he'll start letting him read Quran Sharif. When he finishes, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, he thinks I'm finished. No, now you have to learn the surahs. Then he becomes a hafiz. Now he goes into learning Arabic grammar and nahwa, sarf, balaghat. And then he becomes, he does tafsir. And like this we can understand till mort. Knowledge does not come to an end. It just carries on and on. So in the same way, giving up of gunas, we might well think, and this is a great deception which we also fall into, that alhamdulillah, I'm not committing any guna. And when we see somebody else, may Allah save them from guna. We hear something happen, people committed some guna somewhere, and we are quite alright. But there are many gunas, and this is one great ibadat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim takun a'bad an-nas. Stay away from things which Allah has made haram, and you will be counted amongst those people who make the most i'abad. The person who is the most ibadat guzar. The person who makes the most ibadat. Which our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to explain so beautifully. He used to say that in dunya, you will never find the owner of a shop, factory, office, etc., telling his workers that those who don't do work will get the most wages. In the world, can that be possible? A person who just comes a little late also, few days, he might fire him. He leaves before time. In between, he's not doing some work, you will find. So Hazrat used to say, to make guna is also work. Whichever guna you do is work. Allah said, just give up that work of guna, and I will count you amongst the person who does the most ibadat. In one hadith, the Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most virtuous person? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who gives up haram. Now there are various scenarios. One is, there are many people, they make lot of ibadat also, but then they make some guna also. The example of that is, a person is eating very healthy, vitamin food. Very health conscious he is. He doesn't eat anything which is unhealthy. But he takes one gram or 1 milligram of poison. That will destroy him completely. Another person, he doesn't take any, he's not so conscious about health food. He eats good, normal good food. But he doesn't take poison. That person will be, inshallah, healthy. So like that, if we make lot of ibadat also, especially as students, as I said, from one aspect, one of the greatest ibadat is the acquisition of knowledge, that we are acquiring knowledge. But if we put 1 milligram of some haram in there, then we might destroy everything. We all know, famously, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, complained to his ustad, Waqi', rahmatullah alayh, Su'a hibzi, that my memory is weak. Then, fa'usani, fa'arshadani, ila tarkil ma'asi. He told me to give up guna. Because ilm is a nur. And this nur is not given to a person who is a sana. The outward words of ilm we can get. But the nur of ilm, if we are committing and we are persisting in guna, and we are not making tawbah also. We're just committing guna. And if Allah gives time, then I will try to discuss that there are so many gunas that we are committing that we're not aware they are gunas. And so we don't make tawbah from them. And major gunas, for example, ghibat is one common guna. And very, very sadly, with students, we make ghibat about our ustads, which is the most serious. To make ghibat of any person. One time, I asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, very great, great Ali, senior Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband, that if we make ghibat of non-Muslims, then how is that? So he said, what's the necessity of it? There is no, in that time, you can read Subhanallah, you can read one Durood Sharif, you can make istighfar. Like we speak about politicians, this one is a crook, that one he's corrupt, that one is like that. That is also, if that politician knows you spoke like that, he won't like it that you spoke about him, whoever it might be. So it falls under, but is it jais or not? There is details in there. But why fall in? Also, just following news when news is not necessary for us. We are students. Our greatest news is our kitabs. But we are following other news. And we are following news of commentary, soccer, cricket, all that news we are following. Or we are following the news of the politics. And we know that in the politics, this politician says about that one this, and that one says this about this person. This party criticizes that party, that person. Now, to listen to him, but it's also haram. Now, yeah, do we fall in that category? But who of us do even think that it is haram? We don't even think. That is still, the muftis will give us the proper fatwa there. But actual ghibat which we make, which we know, we just justify, but I want to say this, I know it's wrong, but I know it's ghibat, but, and we start off. So, and we don't think of it as a guna, and we are falling into major guna. Another very big major guna is bad nazri, to look at strange human, whether it is on your iPad, whether it is on your phone, wherever it is. And also, if you don't have to know what is happening in the world, and you are watching news, and is a female news reader, and you are looking at her, now why must you look at her? Why you have, and who thinks of it as a sin? We don't think of it as a sin also. So this is a time that there are many things that we have to try and take stock of ourselves. We also know at the end of a academic year, school year, Alim class year, exams are taken. We are taking stock actually. A businessman, he's got his financial year, he takes stock, and then his accountant will write up all his books and find a balance sheet, and he will want to see that how much profits did I make, what loss was there, loss was there, profit, was the profit better than last year, what was it, all that he wants to see. So there is a good chance also when one Islamic year has finished, we are going into a new Islamic year, then we take stock of ourselves also. Today is Jumu'ah. It's a free day for the students, there are no classes. Even if we sit little bit, even just a mental note, we make that my namaz, see for example, basic things. My namazes in the past year, was I making them or was I dodging? I just came for the, just for roll call, I came and I gave my name or something, whatever it may be. We have to improve on our namazes. I was making namazes, but was I making with the Takbir-e-Ula? Was I in the first book? Did I try? We improve on that. And these are very, very basic things. And also with that, my concentration in namaz, I must improve in that. So we take stock of ourselves and we try and improve. Our iman, are we worried of the level of our iman? Yaqeen, how yaqeen have we got? Our imaniyat, as far as quantity is concerned, inshallah, that is in order. The basics, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'athi ba'd al maut. But isn't there perhaps some other, and especially today, when the great efforts for the wrong parties are making, Shias for example, Qadianis, and Barelvis, and Shia Salafis, all they are making, perhaps isn't something wrong coming in me, in my house, in my children. We were at one place, Juma last week, and the brother was also an Alim. He was so concerned, he said, our children, we try so hard to try and bring them on Islamic lines, but they get so influenced. The schools they go to, friends they have, the outside environment, weekend, they don't want to sit at home. They can't sit at home, they want to mix, they want to socialize. And then today, one mother told of the child, the children taunt the child, have you got an iPad? Now he asked, must I lie to them and say, I got one at home just to keep them quiet? Because all these things are the in things. Now how to protect? So there are many, many things that we have to be worried about. So take stock of ourselves. How can we improve ourselves? How can we better ourselves? And this is the ideal occasion when we are going from one year into a new year. And with regard to this, Maulana Ihtisham al-Haq Sahib, Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written one strange incident, very briefly I'll make it, that a Hindu and a Muslim were going together. The Hindu had about 100 gold coins with him. And it was the last day of the previous century, 1399. And then 14th, the new millennium was going to start Islamically. So he got tired, heavy carrying it, so he asked the Muslim, won't you carry it for me for a while? He said, no, this is money matters, I don't want to be responsible. The night they slept in some Musafir Khana hotel, whatever it was. Now the new century started. As soon as the new century started, he said that Muslim thought that he offered me to carry it. He should have got lost, I should have got 100 gold coins. And he thought again, the Hindu, he thought, what a mistake I made. How could I offer him? Lucky he refused to take it. If he should take it, he says, the amanat from the people's hearts just went away in one night. Just now, before sunset, it was the 13th, 99. And the people's thoughts were different. When 1400 started, now the people's thoughts changed. So now this whole change that comes, there is a great change that takes place. Let us turn our attention to Allah. Let us beg from Allah that we become better Muslims. Nobody can become 100%. But at least the thought, make tawbah, istighfar, promise to Allah that we are going to live a correct life now. So this is that occasion. Let us be conscious that we are going into a new Islamic year. And then let us try and make tawbah, istighfar, and go properly into the new year. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.